Today on The Journey.
So parents, you got to work with your kids to say, these are the things in life that really matter. Here are some non-negotiables. Here are some things that kind of be nice, but here's some end of the road things.
What are some of the important parenting tools you need to raise your kids according to Scripture? That's Ron Moore's topic in this broadcast. Employ them and watch your children grow into successful adults. First, I want you to know about Ron's life-changing publication on prayer. It's titled Engage, 30 Days to a More Powerful Prayer Life. This 63-page booklet explores the often mystifying practice of prayer with thoughts gleaned from key scripture passages. It's available for a gift of any amount, and you'll find it at ronmoore.org. Remember, your donation will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with part two of a message titled Unselfie Home, Parenting on the Journey.
So over the last several weeks, we have been involved in a series of messages we titled Unselfie, We, Not Me. The purpose of this series has just been to address our natural bent to self-focus, to self-absorption. We've said throughout the series, our goal is to get over ourselves so we can live beyond ourselves. Foundation of our series is found in Matthew chapter 22. It's when a lawyer came to Jesus to try to trick him. And this lawyer said, hey, Jesus, what is the greatest of all the commandments? Now, there are 613 commandments, so it'd be pretty hard for Jesus to pick one commandment and say, this is the greatest. So Jesus, in the answer to that, quoted from two passages in the Old Testament. First, he quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 6 when he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. And then he quoted from Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, when he said, you shall love others as yourself. So we've used that as the framework in this series. Our first love has to be God. That's where it starts. That's the first we. We have to have that relationship with the living God. And we want that to grow deeper, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And that's always going to be work. That's always going to be ongoing. We're always going to be working to love God in a deeper, more significant, more meaningful way. When we love God and we have the vertical, then, as Jesus said, the second is like it, you love your neighbor as yourself. And that's the horizontal, others. And we want this relationship to be richer. You can think of friends, you can think of work associates, and all that application is true. But others start right in that place we call home. It starts with our marriage, the basic unit of community. And it starts with our family, our kids. In fact, it's interesting, that verse that Jesus quoted to the lawyer from Deuteronomy 6 is tied with instruction regarding the family. Let's look at that. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. The Jewish people call this the Shema, and they say it every morning and every evening. The Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words shall be upon your heart. They shall be absorbed into your person. And then chapter 6, verse 7 says, once the vertical is working, you teach them diligently to your children. We said that word teach means to repeat, repeat, repeat. You do it over and over again. You do it diligently. It's like an engraver engraving text on a stone. And so you are to engrave the truth of God's word into the hearts of your children. But you don't just do that by saying, here's what you do. You do it by saying, let me show you what it looks like. You shall talk of these truths when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You bind them as a sign on your hand. Your actions demonstrate what it looks like to follow Jesus. The frontlets between your eyes, the direction of your life shows them what it looks like to follow Jesus. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. You shall put them on every room of your house because your house should be absorbed, not only telling them, but showing your kids what it looks like to follow hard after Jesus. And as we've said, if it doesn't work at home, it just doesn't work. You can't win the world and lose your family. So here's what I want to do today. We're going to look at six things that you can do. Here's the first one. You need to pray for your children. Prayer is not the last resort when we run out of other things to do. Prayer is not the last resort when we can't think of anything else to do. Prayer is the first line of defense. We live in a culture today that is opposed to the basic tenets of the Christian faith, the basic things that we believe, the things that we would say these are non-negotiable. Our culture opposes them, and not just opposes them, but attacks them, the values of our faith. And so all around us, there is a call to materialism. All around us, there is a call to idol worship. You worship the person who's on the TV screen or the movie screen. You worship the person who's the athlete. We live in a world where biblical marriage is up for grabs. Think about it. Your kids live in a world where they carry pornographic material around with them in their pocket. That's pretty heavy stuff, isn't it? How do you battle that? You can't build enough fences around that. You can't tell them enough things to do. You've got to be on your knees before the Lord, asking God to help you work through this and help you be the parent you need to be so that you can teach them well. Paul is clear in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. It'd be easier to wrestle against flesh and blood, wouldn't it? But we don't do that. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times. Praying for our children in the Spirit. That's not a prayer language that we pray. It's the Spirit that lives within us. We are praying by the power of the Spirit. The Spirit gives us words, brings things to our mind so that all times we can be praying for the things most important to us, praying at all times with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And all the saints starts with your kids. So let me give you a tool. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. I won't read all of this, but let me give you an idea. This is Paul's prayer of thanksgiving for the Ephesians. Remember, all these prayers that Paul is praying for other people, we can apply them directly to praying for our kids. And so, for this reason, Paul says, before I had heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for the saints, I do not cease giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. We can give thanks to God for our children. Psalm 127 says, all children are a gift from God. So we can thank God every day for our children, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. Man, that's another thing we can pray for our kids, isn't it? You can't be with your kids 24/7. You're going to put them in situations when you send them to school or out into the world where you can't be with them. And we are praying that God gives them the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of discernment, the spirit of the knowledge of him. And you can pray all the way through this passage. There are nine things you can pray about for your kids. Thanksgiving is one. This prayer talks about to know him better, talks about our future hope. So you can pray that your kids live with eternity in mind, not just for the moment, not just doing things that satisfy now, but for eternity in mind. Glorious inheritance, knowing that one day they will have the inheritance of eternal life. If they don't know Christ, that's the time to be praying that Jesus would interrupt their life and bring them to himself. Great power. Our kids need power as they face all the stuff going on in the world. Strength, established in love, to grasp the love of Christ. Again, it's not a last resort. It's not, I've tried everything else, I think I'll start praying. This is the first line of battle. Praying for our kids every day. Secondly, begin a time for family devotion. Maybe it's early in the morning before they go to school. Maybe it's afterwards. For us, sometimes when our kids started growing up and they were going every which way, going to school at different times, it was Sunday evenings for us when we got together and we kept a little prayer journal and they took turns writing in there. We still look back at that. And it's so fun to see the things we were praying for and how God answered our prayers. But find a time to do it. You are the parent. No one can do it for you. I know you're busy. I know when you have young kids, they don't sit still. I know it doesn't seem like they're listening. None of those are excuses. You got to make sure you spend the time interacting with what's most important with your kids. When Paul wrote to a young man named Timothy, listen to what he said. But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned. Timothy, where'd you learn that stuff? And what you have firmly believed. Timothy, who taught you to believe that? Knowing from whom you learned it, and from childhood. Timothy, from childhood. We learn later that it was his mother and his grandmother teaching him the word of God. From childhood, from your mom and your grandmother teaching you, you have become acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise. Wisdom, discernment for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Wouldn't you like that to be written of your kids? Man, from childhood, you knew the sacred scriptures. And those scriptures were able to make you wise to follow hard after Jesus. So family devotions. Number three, help your children determine what to look for and pray for in a friend and a spouse. So let's start with friends. How important is it that your kids have good friends? Pretty important, isn't it? Proverbs 22 says, make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways. It rubs off on our kids. And entangle yourself in a snare. When you hang out with people whose character are questionable, you get entangled in a snare. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We want our kids to have friends who sharpen them in their Christian walk. Proverbs 27:5-6, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Don't you want your kids to have a friend who, when your kid steps out of line, and they will, that friend says, no detours here. Get back on track. Faithful are wounds of a friend. Profuse the kisses of enemies. Now, here's another thing that we've done with our kids, and we have a blast with this, but here's an acronym that you can use to walk through with your kids. If you have younger kids, this acronym will help your kids pray for the right friend. And if your kids are older, this is one we used and had a fun time doing it, to say, what are you looking for in a spouse? Now, it's important that we do this before they get in the game. So here's an acronym you can use with your kids. MATE, friends or spouse. And the first one is must have. What is it that you must have in a friend? What's the starting point? What are the initial things you have to have in a friend? Isn't that a great conversation with your kids, isn't it? What do you look for in a friend? What are some things you really want? If your kids are of the age where they're looking for a spouse, what are the non-negotiables? in a relationship. Before you have a date, what are the non-negotiables? Well, I would hope, since it's a command, that being a Christian is one of those non-negotiables, but not just any Christian, someone who's growing, someone that they can match up and walk through life with. What are the must-haves with your kids? Here's the next one, add-ons. What are things that would really like to have? They're not must-haves, but I'd like to have them. Now, some people will say, the add-ons, that's a must-have for me. And some people say, must-have, well, that's an add-on for me. Again, we're all made differently, right? But what are the add-ons? What are the things you would really like your friend to have? The T is take it or leave it. Doesn't really matter. But those are good things to talk about. And then the E is end of the road. So your kid knows that the moment they're with a group of friends and someone breaks out the drugs, that's it. Because I already know that. I've already made that decision. I don't have to sit there and say, oh, I wonder what I'm supposed to do now. I know I get out of that situation. I know I go call home and I get picked up. I don't do that. When they go over to a house and the pornography breaks out, your kids know I don't participate in that. I already made that decision. I don't have to deal right now with, well, this is going to be uncomfortable and should I do this or not, as tempting as it may be. I know I don't participate in that. I already made that decision. I talked through with my parents on that. That's been ingrained in me a long time. So parents, you got to work with your kids to say, these are the things in life that really matter. I want to save you from some pain later on. All right, number four. Teach your children how to handle responsibility. Teach your children the value of discipline. Whether it's a musical instrument, whether it's drama, whether it's sports. Why I've always loved sports, because you got to be on time, you got to play the game. You don't always get to play as much as you might like, and so you have to work through that. There's a coach, there's an authority figure you got to work with, and you're there with your kids. You help them work through all those things. Teach them the value of discipline. Teach them the value of hard work. Let them get a job. Give them jobs around the house. Again, you're the parent. Figure out how you're going to do that at your house age appropriately. You can check out this sermon. We did a sermon on Proverbs called The Theology of Work. So here you go, back to the Proverbs. Here's what God's word says about work. So I was meeting with a couple on another topic a few weeks ago, and while we were talking, they gave me something they did with their college-age students. They gave permission to use this. And they took the verse, Luke chapter 2, verse 52, and Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. And so they took that as the framework and they used this acronym, GROW. The G is God. Jesus grew in favor with God. So that addresses the spiritual life. Some of the things they had there were daily personal devotions. Going to be in the Word every day, attending church, a Bible study, the godly habits. The R is read. Jesus grew in wisdom. And so this is focused on the mind. Jesus grew in wisdom. So here they talked about focus on your studies. This is important. For them, they had maintained a certain GPA. This is the expectation. This is what you have to work for. There's going to be some accountability or some incentives and consequences. O is others. Favor with God and man. And this deals with our heart, how we interact with other people. So here they said things like, be considerate of your roommates. We could say in our home, be considerate of your brothers and sisters. Dating, healthy physical boundaries. You got to talk to your kids about dating. Stay in touch with your family. That's important to us. We want to walk through this thing together. And then W was workout. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. So this is the body. Rest, exercise, eating healthy. How many kids go off to college and it's the first time they had all this freedom and they don't eat right and they don't get enough rest and they get sick and have to come home during a semester? That's not uncommon. So I thought this was a great thing we can use to work with our kids to help them learn responsibility, just like Jesus did. He grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Number five, be a student of your children and their culture so that you can be the best teacher to your children in their culture. When parents tell me, this internet stuff, man, I don't know. We just don't do it. I don't know anything about Facebook or Twitter, Snapchat. I've heard of that. What is that exactly? I got to tell you, that is not impressive parenting. You just admitted you are not concerned or know nothing about the world your child is immersed in. You better know a lot about all the internet stuff. If you have young children, by the time they grow up, they will have spent 20,000 hours accessing the internet. Some of it will be for school projects. Some of it may be accessing some areas that you really don't want them to access. They will also have played 10,000 hours of video games. And it's pretty serious now, isn't it? I mean, I just watch the commercials. It's like real life stuff. And every commercial I see, someone is blowing someone else up. Now, how does that not impact the brains of our kids? And we're letting them do that. Well, yeah, because everybody else does. And my gosh, what am I going to do? I mean, all their friends are doing it. Well, you be the parent. You got to stand before God. And you got to be responsible for that. Two books you need to read as parents and grandparents. The Next Story, Faith, Friends, and Family in the Digital World. This guy says our kids are digital natives. This is all they know. So how are we going to handle it? Our kids today, according to Chalice, has a new brain channel. We were readers on paper. Well, they're digital readers, and it's totally different today. Then here's another one. This is a great book, Pop Cultured. It's by a guy named Steve Turner. Thinking Christianly About Style, Media, and Entertainment. Again, Turner says, this is the world we live in. Can't get away from it. So how do you think Christianly about movies, about style, about what to wear and what not to wear? Some great stuff in here. About entertainment. So do the reading you need to do to know where you need to lead your kids. One more thing. Let's work together to really become an unselfie church. A church that cares about each other. It's moving the same direction, same time, same reasons. We owe that, don't we, to our kids? They need to know what it looks like for a community to come together and really demonstrate the love of Christ. So, unselfie. We, not me. It always starts with the vertical, our relationship with the living God. And it starts with getting over ourselves so we can live beyond ourselves.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. Prayer. That word and the practice of it fills you with great hope and struggling doubt. You wonder, what precisely is prayer? And how can I pray in a way that God hears and responds to me? Those are the questions answered in Ron Moore's insightful devotional titled Engage, 30 Days to a More Powerful Prayer Life. During this month-long journey, you'll learn how living in awe of God, submitting to His will, and resting in daily dependence on Him can make prayer engaging and effective. Engage, 30 Days to a More Powerful Prayer Life, is yours for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a preview of our next broadcast.
God rested on the seventh day. He celebrated the completeness of His creation. And today you can rest in Him and celebrate the completeness of the work of Christ, because Jesus is our Sabbath rest.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And please drop by our website to order your copy of Engage, 30 Days to a More Powerful Prayer Life. This daily devotional will give your prayer time purpose and joy. Engage, 30 Days to a More Powerful Prayer Life is available for a gift of any amount when you visit us at ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. And by the way, we'd like to invite Pittsburgh area listeners to visit our church website at biblechapel.org. There you'll find information about our area campuses and their ministries. They're located in Robinson, Rostraver, South Hills, Washington, and Wilkinsburg. Again, that address is biblechapel.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, please tell your friends and family about our program. Also, keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on The Journey.